Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009.
A reading from the second book of Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits, and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
The Lord is just in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, and to all who call upon him in truth.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of the Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test them, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And Dawn, we've got these great readings about food and fish, and I'm ready to go out and get some dinner. I don't know about you.
I think probably this Gospel reading is one of the best-known Gospel passages for Catholics. It's very popular.
Yes. It's very Eucharistic, too.
Yes, definitely.
Because we see a lot of the actions that we see in this are seen in the Eucharist. So let's talk about that first.
Maybe. All right.
One of the things that we see, of course, one thing that you and I were reading a couple of commentaries beforehand, and I never noticed this, we are reading from the book of John. We've gone away from Mark, and now we're in John. And Mark does have an account of this, so you and I were wondering, why are we going into John when Mark's got a perfectly fine account of the same miracle?
Exactly.
And of course, what we're doing is we're going to go into a discourse called the Bread of Life Discourse, and this leads into it. And the whole discourse is John's version of the Eucharist. John's whole gospel is Eucharistic, but there's no Eucharistic narrative in it. There's no institution narrative. It's the only gospel that doesn't have the Last Supper account of Jesus saying, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body. Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood. But what John has is he's got more of a theological discourse of the Eucharist, and it appears in subtle ways, and one is in this feeding story. And one of the things that we see are some of the same words that we see in the Eucharist. So we have Jesus took the loaves. So there's that taking. And in the Eucharist, we have he took the bread. Gave thanks is the next thing that says, gave thanks. And we have that in the Eucharistic thing as well. And then distributed it to those who were reclining, as we said, and gave it to his disciples. And commanded them to eat. So this is John's first Eucharistic discourse. And so we've moved kind of in that, and we'll talk about the Eucharist for the next 6 weeks, I think it is. Am I correct?
I think it's 5 weeks.
Next five weeks, as I said. And so you'll be hearing a lot about Eucharistic themes. And so this here is a foreshadowing of the Eucharist, of course, where we take bread, give thanks, and then receive the bread. Another difference, though, that was mentioned, which is not insignificant, is that in John's account, Jesus is the one taking the initiative. Now, one of John's big things in general is that he's always showing us that Jesus is in control and Jesus is the one who's in charge, lest there be any doubt amongst people out there. So we're always knowing that Jesus is in charge, but John in particular really emphasizes that. So it's Jesus, at one point it says he was asking the question of his disciples because he already knew what he was going to do, but it was more to see how they would respond.
Right.
And this is a theme that we have showing Jesus in control here. But it's also Jesus who takes the initiative to ask about the food, and Jesus who will be the one who will give the food.
Right.
So Jesus is kind of the central actor in all of this, which again goes into that Eucharistic theme. In the Synoptic Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's the disciples who are distributing and things like that. But because this is a Eucharistic theme, it's Jesus he has distributing. And that's part of our Eucharistic understanding. A lot of times, people, you might have noticed some changes lately. I don't know how all the churches operate, but a lot of them have been changing where the priest will receive communion and then he'll distribute it to the Eucharistic ministers after he receives. A lot of times it used to be everybody would receive at the same time. But what happened is you lost that symbolism of the priest who's acting in persona Christi, or in the person of Christ, distributing to the people. And what it is it's Christ who's feeding us. And so we say that, you know, we have to receive it first before we can go distribute it as well. So that's why you see the priest doing it and then going to everybody else.
Yeah, I know I went to a workshop around the time we started those changes. And at first, when I looked at it from the outside, it seemed, well, this is sort of elitist. The priest thinks he's better. I didn't actually think this, but you know, you can run it through your head that the priest thinks is better than everybody else. But then the person that was doing the workshop said the exact same thing that you just said, that in I need to receive and be filled so that I can give to other people so that they can be filled. And so and that's what, at least at St. Mary's, the priest receives, gives to the extraordinary ministers of communion, and then they go and give to other people. And so it's like this lovely waterfall almost
in
that image.
And you're exactly right on that idea of we can't give what we haven't received.
In
order to do that. And then the priest, you know, in some sense, it's not elitist, but the priest is different from the lay people.
Yes.
And it's not saying that he is better. Certainly we could point to plenty, and I know I could, lay people who are holier than me.
Like me.
like you. That was the one I was going to use. That was the first example, Dawn.
I was just going to say.
So, for example, Dawn is much holier than me. But so it doesn't have anything to do with holiness. It has more to do with what is your role in the community. And the role of the priest is to act in the person of Christ.
Right. So
then we've got some other interesting phrases. And Dawn, there was one that you and I were talking about before the podcast.
It sort of struck me last week as we were reading the passage in Mark where it talked about they went away to a lonely place and all these people were here and Jesus started ministering to them. So I decided to read a little bit ahead, and then I find out, this is followed by the loaves and the fishes. So as I was reflecting on that, I read through the John account that we have this week, and for some reason this never registered, but at the end, Jesus says, gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted. And that line just totally struck me because we're getting ready to do a camp with the kids where we go out to the community and work, and we're focusing this year on care for creation. And so I've been doing a lot of things looking into being good stewards of the earth and things like that. And so here we have Jesus saying, gather everything so that nothing will be wasted. And so even at this point, Jesus isn't wanting to waste things. And so then I got thinking further about in my own life how not only do I waste things, but I think some people are, maybe I don't have time to waste on them, or, you know, they're beyond help or things like that. But the more that I thought about it, the more I'm convicted of that God doesn't create anything to be wasted, including humans. And so even if that person is really annoying, or, you know, I think they'll never get it, or they're beyond help, he never creates things to be wasted. So then we got talking even further. And Brian, you read some interesting things about the same idea.
Right. And what I was talking about and reading about was the idea of our faith. This was being brought back to the Eucharist. And of course, we don't just throw away the leftovers at the Eucharist, but we put it in the tabernacle. We gather them up and collect them so that nothing will be wasted. And of course, part of it too is we understand it to be the body of Christ. So you're bringing it to another level too of waste if we were just throwing it out. But there's also a sense in which we have to do this with our faith too. We have to nourish our faith, and we have to gather together the fragments so that nothing will be wasted, that there will be something there for future generations. Just like in the tabernacle, there's something there for future occasions should we need it. So a lot of times we have people who will come to bring communion to people who are homebound or something like that, for people who need to come in and be in the presence of God for a little bit. We have that in the tabernacle right there for adoration, for all these purposes, for the future. And I think that's important. We need to look to the future and do some kind of preserving of it, not just when we talk about things like, you know, the green movement, where it's all dealing with, you know, the planet and our resources and that kind of thing, which, you know, I have nothing against or anything, but also there's a sense in which we have to go one step further and say, what are we doing with our faith life? And how are we preserving that for the future? Or are we just letting it die? Are we not going to Mass? Are we not nourishing ourselves? Are we allowing our faith to be wasted? And I think that's a real important question to ask. And also, all of this, I think, I just had this epiphany moment here, Dawn, goes together with our Spirit Alive campaign, which is on, this year it's focusing on stewardship and discipleship, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right?
Upcoming year it is, yes. That's why we're choosing to focus on that with our kids this summer.
Right. So I think that this goes hand in hand with that same campaign, this how are we using what we've been given? Are we wasting things? Are we allowing fragments to just be thrown out because we don't see a use for this fragment? Or are we gathering together fragments, and maybe you have a fragment, Dawn, and I have a fragment, and when we put them together, we've got, you know, an abundance.
Exactly.
There you go. So there's certainly that question that needs to be asked as well. And Dawn, I am seeing on that note, we are coming towards the end of our podcast for the week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we will... I'm not going to bid people adieu because I got teased about that last week. So I don't know, what could we say, ciao this week? I don't know. But we'll wish everybody a good week, and hopefully people will think of ways in which they can use the fragments of their lives to create an abundance. And hopefully they'll join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.